This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We just finished up with BK. We'll discuss some of the spending and saving and the Doge stuff here in just a moment. I want to get to a bunch of these emails because I'm way behind on that. It looks like we have at least the start of an agreement with Ukraine to get some of their minerals, which, again, this is why it was always dumb for Zelensky to go on TV and go on stage and say, well, we're never giving any of this up, because you always were. You don't have leverage. You don't get to say that right now. So it looks like that's going to happen. We'll discuss that a little bit. Democrat donors are shunning the party. A dark horse candidate for president is spouting off. The FBI is looking into James Comey for a honeypot operation. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to get to this, though. Oracle, while I applaud Doge for investigating and shutting down these commie programs, where is all this, quote, saved money going? Is it gone? Will I, struggling to get by, see an improvement in my day-to-day living? I bet not. Okay, so we don't want to be dark and depressed. Because it's a great time in the country right now. I'm having a great time. I hope you're having a great time. It's a great time. But we also need to be honest and realistic about everything. When we look at all these cuts, we're cutting this out, and we're not going to send $20 million to this and $20 million to that. The value in the cuts is not that the money comes back to you. It's not, because it won't. The value in the cuts is that it denies the communists the money of yours they've been using to fund their revolution. That's the true value in the Doge cuts. Remember the two central pillars of American communism that hold it up are using your money to fund their revolution and educating your kids. The Doge cuts are about denying them the money they use for their revolution. And you know how this works. We've explained it a million times on the show. You've seen it laid bare. How many years did I tell you about the system and how it all works to support each other? They take $20 million and they hand it to this government agency, but then that government agency takes the $20 million and they hand it to this NGO, non-government organization, which just happens to be some filthy communist organization that will use it against you. That's how it works. The Doge cuts are about denying the communists their central pillar that holds them up. But let's talk about you, because the emails are still coming in. I can't make ends meet. Jesse, I'm barely getting by. Jesse, I've got two or three jobs. Jesse, when are we going to see relief? When are we going to see relief? So here's the God's honest truth, the painful truth of it. I am not sure we will see that relief. Now, Donald Trump is going to grow the economy because he's deregulating it, because he's expanding the energy sector. We are going to see economic growth. We will see an improved job market. Business confidence, consumer confidence is up. So I don't want to act like it's all dire and dark. But as far as your buying power goes, why don't you have as much as you did before? Because of inflation. Why do we have inflation? The government. Government spending and printing of money, that has brought about this inflation. That's why you can't afford things anymore. That's why everything costs a ridiculous amount of money. Anything you do costs a crazy amount of money. And right now, I don't know if you've been following along with it, there's a gigantic spending bill that is slowly but surely working its way through Congress, a spending bill that will be signed. What kind of a spending bill? Well, I'll put it this way. Government spending before COVID, about $4 trillion, okay? About $4 trillion. Now, that's not all government spending. I mean, like a yearly thing. The government is going to have a $4 trillion budget. I'll put it that way. We decided, because America got a bad chest cold, that we were going to spend $6 trillion. $6 trillion. They won't cut back now. Even the new bills going through, they're not cutting it back. They're not reducing the spending on anything in any significant way. And without significant reductions in the spending, well, your dollar goes not as far. Inflation remains. You see the recent inflation numbers? They're bad. They're really, really bad. Now, those are Biden's numbers that, because of the lag, you can't drop those numbers in Trump's lap yet. But they're bad. And they're not going to get better as long as the spending, as long as the spending remains. And this is what frustrates us. It frustrates me. I know it probably frustrates you, because we want Donald Trump to get elected and walk in and snap his fingers and, hey, get Elon Musk in there and we'll cut this and we'll cut that. And then, hey, look at all this money savings. But the truth is, we need a Congress that is willing to make significant spending cuts. And as of right now, we do not have one, period. We don't have one. Because we've been filling up Congress with a bunch of useless low-T GOP types forever who don't have the stones to stand in front of the American people and say, this government program is ending. This is stopping. We are cutting this. We are reducing that. We will cut 10%. What? How many even talk like that? Rand Paul? There's like five of them that even discuss that. It's not at all that I am against DOGE and all these cuts. I am pro-DOGE, pro-cuts, but what that does is denies the communists the money. It does not make your dollar go farther. I made the comparison the other day that it's like, you know, your house is crumbling, the foundation's cracking, the studs and the wall are rotted out, termites and everything else, and your landscaping is dying. The DOGE cuts, they're replacing the flowers outside. It's good. Look, you got to replace the landscaping too. It's good. It's a good thing. It pretties the house up. But you didn't save the house by putting in a new bed of flowers. The foundation is cracking. And our foundational problem as a country is we spend an absurd amount more than we take in, which can be mind-blowing. Because we take in so much money. That's what's so nuts about all the Washington spending. It's not as if we're pinching pennies on the amount of money the government takes in, and we just, well, I guess I gotta overspend. It's not like you, when you can't pay the bills one month and you maybe gotta put some things on the credit card you don't want to put. They have virtually unlimited amounts of money. You know what it is? Was it Patrick Ewing? That old NBA basketball player. I'm going to screw this up because it was years and years and years ago. And he's long retired. God only knows what he's doing now. He was an NBA center for the New York Knicks. And he got himself in some hot water with the public because he said something. This won't be an exact quote, but it was something like, well, people have to understand $10 million, you know, it's not that much money. It's not a lot of money. $10 million isn't a lot of money. You say that to people who are barely making ends meet. It doesn't quite land as well. That the United States government can't manage to only spend what they're taking in is not good. Not good at all. I did enjoy this little exchange today. Caroline Levitt and the reporter. Back to what we were discussing a little bit last hour about how committed these people are to illegals. They love them way more than they'll ever love you. Listen to this question from this idiot.
I wanted to get your response to some Washington Post reporting of the migrants who stayed over at Guantanamo Bay for the last 2 weeks. They told the Post they were rarely let outside. They were shackled and placed in what they described as cages and alleged that they were not treated as human beings. Does the White House have any response to those conditions?
At Guantanamo Bay?
I'm sorry? Were you shackled and kept in a cage? Oh, that is so sad. Notice the reporter. You can have, and they only send the worst of the worst down to Guantanamo, I might point out. God only knows the criminal record of whoever went whining to the Washington Post. But remember the people who bring you the news. They are so evil. They are so depraved. They will look at some child rapist from Guatemala and they will try to insist that he should be treated more humanely than you should, that he shouldn't be shackled, that he shouldn't be kept in a cage. That guy should be lucky he's not being dropped into the Marianas Trench. And yet the Washington Post will tell you till they're blue in the face that that saintly illegal has every bit as much of a right to your country as you do. That's the American media. And that's how committed these people are to all this stuff. Okay, so I had somebody float a name to me once about a potential Democrat presidential nominee for 2028. And I laughed this person off initially, and then they explained it to me. And this person's in the news sounding awfully sensible, one of those sensible Democrats. Let's talk about him next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We got Daniel Turner coming up about 10 minutes from now. That'll always be a good time. I will talk about the Trump gold card thing that he brought up earlier today. Maybe you've already heard this. If you haven't, I'll get to it right after Daniel Turner. But I teased it, so I've got to live up to that. There's a dark horse presidential candidate, Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon, I know you've probably heard the name. He's the CEO of JP Morgan Chase. Every now and then, he'll say something that makes him sound like he's kind of on the right. Then the next day you wake up and it sounds like he's kind of on the left. But Carol Roth, who you know, Carol's come on the show before, brilliant. She told me, keep your eyes on Jamie Dimon because there are rumors he might make a run at it. And he came out today and said that the government is inefficient and that the DOGE efforts need to be done. Now, why would he say this if he intends to run as a Democrat? Well, he's also a very intelligent human being. No, I'm not a fan, but you'd be a moron to not recognize his intelligence. He's an intelligent human being who can take a step back and look and realize that this is not going to win the election in 2028.
Immigrants are us. Yeah. Immigrants are us. And
That's not going to win. This is not going to win the election.
Like, and we know, like, this isn't me trying to throw shade. These are just the facts. Mm-hmm. When you look at who's voting for who, the less educated folk, and when I say educated, I'm not even talking about formal education. I'm talking about people that literally don't want to read and enlighten themselves on facts. Mm-hmm.
That's not going to win. I'm looking at a headline here from Newsmax. Democrat donors shun the party over 2024. Democrat donors, large and small, they're not giving to the Democrat Party. They're disheartened. They're angry about the last election. They see the party as leaderless. They're not confident where it's going. If they go searching for an outside guy, which that's how Carol explained it to me, Jamie Dimon would make all the sense in the world because Chris just brought up a good point. He said he has no name ID. That can work both ways. Did you even know who Jamie Dimon was before I just brought him up? He also has no baggage. How much money do you think the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, how much money do you think he would be able to raise for a presidential campaign? How many people are in his Rolodex that he can dial up and will give large quantities of money? He can play the, I'm the reasonable outsider guy. I'm not AOC. I'm not Jasmine Crockett. I'm just a moderate Democrat. See, Chris brought up, can he make it in a primary? Okay, glad you asked that question, because maybe others were asking it as well. Well, how do Democrat primaries work? We've all seen it a million times. Let's just talk about the one that Joe Biden won. How did Joe Biden win that primary? Remember that field? There was Elizabeth Warren. Oh, Elizabeth Warren. Bernie Sanders spittling into the microphone, sounding like a nut job. It was all these people. Dome was involved in that primary. All these people were in that primary. And then Democrats started to get a little nervous because Bernie Sanders was winning. And so they dragged poor Joe off the beach in Delaware and made him look like a functional adult and had him run. But that wasn't enough, was it? Joe Biden didn't walk into that race and immediately take command of the Democrat primary. Well, remember, these people are communists. Communists control. Communists believe in control. Top-down tyranny is what they believe. They simply cleared the field for Joe. They had to pay off the Rear Admiral, Pete Buttigieg, give him a Secretary of Transportation job. He was an easy buy. They paid off Dome. They paid off. Slowly but surely, everybody dropped out of the race because the powers that be in the Democrat Party decided they wanted it to be Joe. It was never up to the voters. Democrat voters don't get an actual say in the primary when it comes to presidential politics. The top of the party does. The decision makers do. Jamie Dimon, okay, let's say he plays the role of I'm the moderate Democrat. I'm the reasonable one because that's the kind of guy they're going to need to run to win in 2028. He steps in, he plays the role. Maybe you're sitting there saying, yeah, but you're going to have all these radicals like Bernie and others. They'll run hard to the left. And since the Democrat Party base are a bunch of demonic communists, that's who they'd prefer. I would agree with you to some extent, but Jamie Dimon is going to be able to walk up to the Democratic National Party and say to them, would you like my $500 million I can bring? Oh, you would? Guess what? I'm going to be winning the primary. Boom. Like, I'm not predicting it. I'm not predicting it. I've told you, I think it's probably going to be Pritzker, but I could see it. I could definitely see it. And I'd be a little nervous. It would make me nervous. It would make me nervous enough. Now, we should always be nervous, right? You never want to think you've got an election in the bag. No matter what the next election looks like, we should be running hard, working hard, acting as if they have a great candidate. But that one would make me a little nervous. What, Chris? Chris said you'd have a bunch of socialists who hate money walk away from the general. You know what you sound like? All the Bernie Sanders losers who said they were going to walk away from the Democrat Party when poor Bernie got screwed over again, and every single one of those demonic idiots ran to the polls to vote for Joe Biden in the 2020 election. They always threaten that. We've talked about this before during the Republican primary. Everyone threatens, if he wins, I'm not voting. Everyone comes home and votes. Something to think about. Anyway, let's talk to Daniel Turner about power, and then I will address the Trump gold card thing that he announced just a couple hours ago. Before we do that, let's get your tea levels up. Let's get your energy up. Let's get your mood up. Why am I in a good mood most of the time? I'm in a good mood because my tea levels are through the roof. I have focus. I have energy. I feel good. That's what natural herbal supplements from Chalk will do for you. You will feel it. You don't have to guess. When you get a subscription from Chalk, and you should get a subscription because that's how you save money, I don't want you to guess or hope. Tell me if you feel better. If you don't, cancel your subscription. You will feel it. Almost every email I get from Chalk mentions that they felt it early. 30 days, 60 days, you will feel good. Do you want to feel younger again? Better all the time? Female vitality stacks or male vitality stacks, or just get some Chalk lit powder for the morning. Chad mode if you're looking for a pre-workout. Natural herbal supplements. Don't put that other filth in your body. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back with Daniel Turner.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And joining me now, as promised, is my friend. Everyone listens to the show knows Daniel Turner. Power the future, Daniel Turner. Okay, Daniel, before we begin with all the other stuff, I saw Donald Trump is publicly trying to revive the Keystone Pipeline. I had been told, shoot, it was probably you who told me, that no one's going to start it again because you know a Democrat's just going to stop it the second they get into office and it ain't worth the money or the trouble. What's going on?
100%. And I hate to rain on anyone's parade. Of course, we want infrastructure projects. But I think we need to take a step back and realize just how bad this decision was by Joe Biden. He didn't just cancel a pipeline, right? He didn't just fire 14,000 workers and give in to the green agenda. He put the full faith and credit of the American government into question. And now anytime you have this major infrastructure project of any sort, any project that's going to take more than 4 years, well, now you have to worry about what if the next guy decides he wants to cancel it. I mean, Joe Biden set a really terrible precedent. And I got to tell you, if you're in the private sector and you have a 5-year operation, especially in a state like yours, talk about refineries, pipelines, any sort of large oil and gas infrastructure, you can say, all right, well, we're going to begin now because we have Donald Trump in office. But what happens if Gavin Newsom wins in 2028? No one predicted Joe Biden was going to win, you know, early on. What if we get Gavin Newsom in 2028? Am I going to put $2 billion on the line only to have him cancel it on day one to make a political point? And so, yes, I applaud this decision. I want energy infrastructure, but I cannot blame any company that no longer has faith in American government. And that solely lies on Joe Biden. He cannot be condemned enough for the precedent he sent that will last for a very, very long time.
That goes along the lines of something I've been talking about a lot on the show, Daniel, which I mean, people, when I say it, people think I'm rooting for Democrats. I'm not. But in order to save the country long term, we have to have a reformed Democrat Party, because we can't survive like this. We can't survive with them destroying faster than we can build. It won't work.
No, of course. And do you remember, you've been in this game for a while. I was thinking about this the other day. Do you remember about 15 years ago, MSNBC, they hired Spike Lee, and they did this huge media blitz of this new campaign, and it was called Lean Forward. And MSNBC, it was the beginning of the Obama era. Their ratings were starting to take off, and they had people like Chris Matthews standing at the Hoover Dam saying, how come we don't build great things like this? And all of their anchors were all about the country, showing infrastructure projects and, you know, trying to evoke that old FDR great building thing. That Democrat Party is dead. It's the Democrats who stopped building projects. Can you imagine trying to build the Hoover Dam right now between the environmental groups and the liberal groups and the native groups? Those days are gone, and it's Democrats who killed them. So you're absolutely right. We need a different Democrat Party, because if we're going to get any big project done, I mean, heck, why not cancel an airport? You know, I'm sure you can find a short-haired grouse somewhere that you can say, how dare President give permission for this? So everything is on the line right now, and that's Joe Biden's legacy. The damage he did will last a very long time. Now, I have solutions, if you're curious of hearing them.
Yes,
there are
give it to him.
Fix it. Well, one of the ways we have to fix it is you're going to have to start government bonding, like a lot of construction projects. You know, sure, Mr. President, I will build this $8 billion pipeline, but the federal government has to put up an $8 billion bond. And if they revoke permissions, they have to reimburse us the cost of construction. You need legislative fixes that you take the permission out of the hands of the president. There's no reason why the president of the United States has this call to begin with. Why can't the Congress decide this? And then at least you have to be held accountable by your voters and not, you know, steal an election and give the green groups a victory. So there are solutions, there are fixes, but I think it takes something like that before a major company is going to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in a project that can be canceled because the next guy who wins the election is an idiot.
Daniel, again, speaking with Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Daniel, what country does energy right? What is the country we can look at? Because obviously we're all messed up in a variety of ways. What is the country we can look at and say, hey, look at what they're doing. That's where we need to go.
There isn't. We do it best, no doubt, but we don't do it right. We do it better than most. You can look at the countries that have robust petrochemical economies. Obviously, they're all the Middle East. But, you know, they use slave labor, and they have no environmental practices. And, you know, in places like Saudi Arabia, women can't drive, which I know you would be a proponent of. So.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So maybe
that
that's fine. But I don't want to look to the Saudis or the Qataris to do anything right. And so we do it the best, no doubt, but we don't necessarily do it right. We used to. I mean, I only started Power of the Future because energy became a hot button issue. Energy used to be boring and perfunctory, and everyone supported energy. Heck, you can go back and find old videos of Joe Biden running for Congress talking about Scranton coal, and I love coal miners, and damn it, we need coal. What the hell happened to him? Right? What happened to any of them, any of these Democrats? You have Democrats, Jesse, from huge oil and gas states like Martin Heinrich in your neighboring New Mexico, or Michael Bennett up in Colorado, and they hate this industry, and the people reelect them, hating the industry that funds their state economy. So, yeah, the Democrats are in the wilderness. That we need to put them further in the wilderness. They need to be absolutely decimated and destroyed.
Ugh, mercy. Okay, so Daniel, tell me this. What's good? What good is happening right now under the Trump administration energy-wise? I know he's all about this. He was outstanding at it during his first 4 years. Tell me some good news. What's happening right now?
There is a lot of good news, right? There's regular permitting that's going to happen. So if you're one of these big companies and you want to lease land in the Permian Basin, you know on April 1st there will be auctions. And you're starting to line up your capital. Hey, guys, the geologists are telling us we should bid on this, and here's what we can afford, and here's the asking price, and you go to the bank. What was happening for 4 years under Biden is you do all of that, and then you get to the auction date, and Deb Haaland, the Interior Secretary, would say, guess what? No auction. We're not doing it. Land leases. And when pushed, of course she did, as all liberals did, she hid behind immutable characteristics. She hid behind indigenous knowledge because she's half Pueblo Indian. And she would say her indigenous knowledge told her that we should not have land lease sales this month. And everyone rolled with it because they're so chicken. They wouldn't say, what the hell is it? You know, imagine if you, Jesse, said, like, well, my Irish wit has told me that this is what we're going to do going forward. They'd say, oh, I don't know if that's a qualifier. But when you pull the native card, everyone shuts up. Not Power the Future, though. We never shut up. We're not going to be intimidated by any of those DEI nonsense things.
You have any contacts with the administration? Are you working with them at all? I'd like to know that you're in their ear in some way.
We are in their ear, and okay. This just comes because we've been doing this for 7 years, and they know who we are, and they know we're serious, and they know we have the industry writ large at heart. I don't have any company at heart. Sometimes we advocate things that one company hates and another company likes. That's not what we do. We're looking for the good of the American people, and a robust energy industry is good for everybody, and they know that, and they know we're a trusted source. And I got to tell you, going on programs like yours and getting our message out is what helps that. So I thank you, my brother.
Well, you're always welcome here, brother. I appreciate you very much. Daniel Turner, Power of the Future, thank you for making us smarter once again. Like I said, I've said it many times, and I know it's kind of a black pill outlook, but it is true. As much as we are loving everything right now, and I'm loving it just like you are, only a reformed Democrat Party can save the country long term. We can't build as fast as they destroy. All right, we have more. Let's do some emails and stuff. Next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to this James Comey stuff, flying next to a dead body. We'll get to firings versus arrest. Still a lot more to get to, but I wanted to address this. You may have already heard it, but I doubt it. It was an hour and a half ago, about the time the show was cooking off. Trump was signing a bunch of executive orders in the Oval Office and answering reporters' questions like he normally does every day. It's nice to have a president who actually answers questions again. And remember when we said Trump intends to do big things, not safe things, big things. He was dead serious about Greenland. He was dead serious about the Gulf of America. He's dead serious about changing trade. He wants to change our relationship with Europe. He wants to do big things and different things. And remember what we said when we talked about that, that some of those things, many of those things, you will love, and some you will hate, okay? Just preparing you for that now. That's the way it goes. People who think like that and try to do big things, people who swing for the fences, can turn people off from time to time. Trump made an announcement today about a gold card instead of a green card. I will let him explain it in his own words. I'm going to let it play. I'm not going to interrupt him. Here's what he said. I want you to hear it from his mouth.
We're going to be doing something else. It's going to be very, very good. We're going to be selling a gold card. You have a green card. This is a gold card. We're going to be putting a price on that card of about $5 million, and that's going to give you green card privileges plus. It's going to be a route to citizenship, and wealthy people will be coming into our country by buying this card. They'll be wealthy, and they'll be successful, and they'll be spending a lot of money and paying a lot of taxes and employing a lot of people. And we think it's going to be extremely successful. Never been done before, anything like this, but it's something that we're going to be putting out over the next, would you say 2 weeks out? Do you want to say a couple of words about it?
Okay. That's a no for me. And let me explain why it's a no. I understand the thinking. I do. I get it. We want to bring high net worth people into the country. Hopefully they start companies. They hire people. Like I understand it. And I'm not yelling and screaming about it. I don't think it's the end of the world. But no. And here's why. The whole path to citizenship thing. Citizenship, to be a citizen of the United States of America, is awesome. It's an awesome thing. If you're an American citizen, it's awesome. You should feel happy about that. And frankly, if you're a citizen of anywhere, I hope you're proud of that. For the Canadians listening, I hope you're proud of that. French, proud of that. Citizenship is something to be treasured. I don't think you should be able to buy it. That's my point. I have no problem bringing in high net worth people and all that. I understand that. American citizenship should not be for sale. That's my point. Should not be for sale. Even to rich guys, it should not be for sale. And the people who have earned it, right? The legal immigrants who have gone through the grinding process of trying to get their citizenship. That's what it should be. You know, we always hear that it should be, we need wider gates and we need to make it easier. No, we don't. It should be hard. It should be a long, hard slog to become a citizen of America. Because things you value should be difficult to obtain. It shouldn't be 20 minutes. And it shouldn't be for $5 million. It shouldn't be bought. It should be earned. That's my point. Now, I want to talk about people who don't appreciate how good they have it. There's a lot of those people out there. Sometimes that's been me. Maybe it's been you. We all lose sight of our blessings from time to time. But I saw this and I was just floored. We'll get to the James Comey FBI stuff I should note and arrests versus imprisonment and emails. I'll get to all that. But sometimes people just don't appreciate how good they have it. Mitchell Ring and Jennifer Collin, those are two people who don't appreciate how good they had it. You see, they got on a flight. They're Australian, but they got on a flight and they were heading to Venice. 15-hour flight. They got stuck next to some lady. Nobody likes to fly next to people, especially people who talk. Happens to me all the time. This lady died on the flight. And they had to fly next to a dead body for 15 hours. What's the problem? Talk about a peaceful flight. I've been on a flight several times wishing the person next to me would die. What, Chris? What? Chris said, can they not stick her in the storage area mid-flight? Well, I would have hoped they were just being polite because I would want No, you don't need to stick her in the storage area. It's not like she's going to smell right away. Plop her down in the seat. Strap her in. Let somebody have... What? Chris? What? It's fine. Let somebody have a peaceful 15-hour flight. But instead, we have to have the whining about it and frustrated. And I can't believe they told us to stay. It wasn't nice. Buddy, the last time I flew next to some dude who weighed about 390 pounds and had sleep apnea while he was awake. And he wanted to chat. I felt like a squashed pancake by the time I got to where I was going. I don't want to hear your sob story because you had to fly next to a dead woman. I hereby volunteer to fly next to a dead person every single time I fly. You can, in fact, surround me with dead people. Then I can have what, Chris? It's fine. Then I can finally have the peace and quiet I treasure so much in life. All right. Enough of that. Let's talk about how evil the FBI is, the honeypot stuff, and arrests versus firing. I'm hearing, I'm going to lead next hour with this. I'm hearing something, a word consistently, and it is starting to concern me greatly. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to the pain in your life, the physical pain, the daily pain. What is that thing on your body that hurts all the time? Is it your elbow? Your back, very common. Your foot, your knee, your quad, your what is it? What if I could take that pain away? Well, I've got bad news. I can't, but Relief Factor can. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free supplement. It was developed by doctors. It doesn't mask your pain for a little while. It takes it away. It helps your body eliminate it forever. What if you could do that thing you don't do anymore because you hurt now? Try it for 3 weeks. It gets better the longer you take it, the better it works. 3 weeks. If that pain is the same after 3 weeks, don't order anymore. But for $19.95, you can try it for 3 weeks. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Either that or just keep on with the neck pain and not doing anything. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.